안녕하세요. A very warm welcome to you all. If you're worshipping with us for the first time, it's great to have you here, and we hope you'll get a chance to talk to you after the service. Today is slightly different as it's our annual general meeting, and as you may know, our practice over recent years is to give some of the reports as part of the worship, because it reminds us that we do everything here to the glory of God, and God is interested in all aspects of our lives. The service is once again being live streamed, so we welcome those of you watching from home or elsewhere. Please refer to the notices sheet that's sent out each week, either via email or in the post. I'm not going to go through everything that's on it. I mean, future. If you don't get these, please let us know and we can add you to the distribution list. We do plan to have a few printed copies. I don't know if there are any this week, but in the future we'll have a few printed copies for anybody who doesn't get them any other way. Some notices to highlight, however, are these. This Thursday, so the 16th, at 2 p.m. we have the Celebration of Life service for Rosemary Moore here in the church, followed by tea in the Mayor Hall. Please can you let the family know if you plan to attend the tea so that they can plan for catering. On Friday the 24th of September, in the foyer between 11 and 12, we're taking part in the Macmillan Cancer Support World's Biggest Coffee Morning. So there'll be cakes available and the money goes to the Macmillan Cancer Fund. So please come, bring your friends and enjoy that event. On Saturday the 25th of September, Christian Aid's The Richmond Riverside Walk is back. Details are on the notice sheet and on Facebook. There's an 8-mile route and a shorter 3-mile route. Registration is from 10:15 and the walk is from 11 to 3:30. It's a chance for a walk along some beautiful parts of the world, and the money raised will go to Christian Aid. So please speak to Ray if you want more information. And then the final event ahead is on October the 2nd, KURC's Big Day In, Day Out. Talk to Leslie if you've any ideas or would like to host an event, and come for as much or as little of it of the day as you want. It's a great chance for us to get back in contact with each other. News of people. Firstly, we received this lovely card from Jacob and EJ. They were here on the 22nd of August. Jacob, as you remember, is a member here and now a minister in the URC. And inside the card, they write this: Dear KURC family, this is quoting from Ephesians, therefore I also, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers. And they go on to write, words are not enough to express how grateful we are for the love, support, and the wonderful gifts you gave us. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. Thank you for keeping us in your thoughts, hearts, and prayers. May God bless you with peace and joy. Love, Jacob and EJ. So more on people. We remember Stuart's aunt Maureen, who's unwell. Pray for her, for Stuart, and also for Stu's mum, who's the twin sister. Georgie continues his recovery, so we remember him, and also those who are filling in for him while he's not able to work here. Gordon Moore is in hospital recovering from a fall, so pray particularly for him, and we hope that he's available or able to join the service on Thursday. And also remember others that are known to us who are unwell or finding life difficult at this moment. And finally, a special welcome to Hyun, who's here for the first time with us, having escaped from quarantine And she's stepping in urgently to play the piano because Ruth, who was going to play, is broken down on her way. So welcome, and thank you so much. Thank you.
Let's just, oops, maybe I turn it on, that would help. Not on. Let us join together to worship God. All you nations, come praise the Lord. Let everyone praise God. God's love for us is wonderful. God's faithfulness never ends. Shout praise to the Lord. We join together to sing. This is by way of practice for Rosemary's service. This is, Rosemary chose this hymn, and we're going to sing, O Lord, all the world belongs to you.
Thank you.
Have a seat. Don't know what you think, but I think for an old woman to choose that hymn is indicative of a woman whose faith was growing and continuing. Yeah. So let us join to pray. Let us pray. Who are you? God of surprises, we come to worship you. God of the universe, surprising and eternal. In Jesus, we discover you confined in human form. This is absurd and beyond what is reasonable. Yet we know that Peter looked at Jesus, his friend and teacher, the Palestinian Jew, storyteller, traveler, powerless man, and said, "You are the Christ." And we say the same. You are the Holy One from God. We worship you. Forgive us for the times when we do not recognize you, when we don't see you in our neighbors and walk past. Forgive us when our vision is too small and our ideas too defined by the past. Open our eyes to recognize you, Lord Jesus. Open our spirits that we would be sensitive to you, in us and around us. We know that too often we try to shape you rather than allow you to shape us. We do this on our own and we do it as a community. We do not allow the ministry, the death, the life to shape us. And we are sorry. God who surprises, we come to worship you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, do I need to stand here? Yeah, probably. Hello, people at home. We're going to play a game of word association. So I'm going to come up with some words, and I just like you to call out the first thing that comes into your mind when I say those words. Okay, no swearing, please. So are you ready? Nature. Dogs. Cats. Emma. I had a very late night last night. Emma Raducanu, British.
Yeah, she's British and she wants something. Get over yourself.
No, come on. I'm just milking it. Right. Church.
Safe.
They're all giving very spiritual answers.
Oh, no, two.
Are you sure you're telling me exactly what comes into your head? School. Children.
Joy.
Trouble. In the Bible, Jesus says that out of our hearts come the thoughts of our mind, and therefore our speech and our deeds. And so what we have in our hearts, our attitudes, our values, that comes out. And today is Education Sunday, where we think about teachers and people who work in schools and our children and our young people as they're at school. And we pray for them that they would do well academically, but also that that God would fill their lives as well, that they would grow in their walk with God. So I just wanted to sort of remind you of that, and to say that over the next few weeks and months as a church, we'll be thinking about our children and our young people and what our vision for them is. So just reflect on what you think about when you hear that word children, and what you envisage for them, what your hopes and dreams are for them. And if there's anything that's negative there, and there may well be, and that's fair enough, then think about that too, because we can work on that together. Thank you.
Thank you. We join together to sing Christ Be Our Light.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is my second report as church secretary. Dominated by the COVID pandemic. The year started in amazing fashion with the gift of December last year. The amount of leave well above our timid expectations and with little faith made a huge difference
all
lessons at all that
stock.
Anne and I went to Korea to visit her family and friends. During my time away, the church turned once again to Cathy, who held the church secretary reign. Grateful to her for that and everything else she does for the church. Thank you, Cathy. I'm always sad to leave Korea. I'm glad to return to the relative farm of a UK winter. -16 degrees centigrade in left Seoul, which made the 6 degrees centigrade we returned to quite pleasant. We did return, however, with some anxiety, as COVID cases here were increasing rapidly and another lockdown was in place. The pandemic has forced us to be creative, and I think we have benefited in many ways from that. For example, each evening during Easter week, there was a 30-minute Zoom-based reflection, which a number joined, and they were really great. We've also now established a pattern of daily prayer, again on Zoom, at 10 o'clock each weekday morning. With both these events, we've seen the benefit of Zoom. Not many of us would travel into Kingston for a half-hour event in the building, even if there was no pandemic. So these are things I think we will keep. Sue and her pastoral team, pastoral coordinator team, have kept in touch with people as best we can. And we are grateful to them all for the messages and the phone calls and the support they've been given those of us who are not well. We continue to receive daily a thought and prayer, either via WhatsApp or email. These passed their 380th edition recently, and they just keep coming. Thank you, Teresa, for all that work. The Sunday 10 a.m. worship continued on Zoom, and I think we created a good format which enabled us to interact within the limits of Zoom and so keep in touch with one another. And we are grateful to a number of people who made this possible. Richard, James, Isaac, and Samuel, who prepared and ran the Zoom meetings each week. Sugin, who arranged for the videoing of the sermons and adding of subtitles in both English and Korean, which was a huge job each week. Hansol, Sojin and Ruth, who recorded music that we've used before services. And Liz and the choir, who recorded a number of hymns and songs. And we were also grateful for all the recordings we have of previous services, from which we've been able to extract hymns that we've used while we waited for our new organist. We're also grateful to Leslie, who's had to produce sermons and lists of hymns much further in advance than normal. And hardest of all for her, she's had to sit and listen to herself preach every Sunday. May saw another innovative Christian Aid Week. Again, no door-to-door collection was possible, but Ray and the team once again rose to the challenge. Helped by the local church ministers carrying buckets of waters and a very sporting mayor willing to be doused in that water at the finale to the week, an amazing total of over £20,000 was raised. It's been another tough year for our staff. Sally and Georgie spent much of the year either fully or partially furloughed. Catherine has continued to work hard to ensure the building has been looked after and that all the essential maintenance was carried out. Things are slowly changing with more customers booking rooms and other building-based activity returning, not least the Sunday services. Throughout the year, Catherine has also been distributing information each week, and many of you will receive the emails with the notices, sermons, and other information. And these are also posted to people without internet access. And we are very grateful to Catherine for all that work. Sally has worked hard to keep in touch with the families who attended activities before the pandemic. A number of these activities were continued on Zoom and are now back in the building or outside. Georgie, prior to his operation, has been back at work, supporting the people using our building. We received 3 people into membership during the year and had 4 baptisms, 3 of adults. But sadly, during the last year, several members have died. And we remember Margaret Jones, Nigel Tunley, Anne Mackay, June Avery, and Rosemary Moore. There have also been a number of deaths of family members and friends of some of our members, and we remember them too. Through all the ups and downs of the year, Leslie and Sugin have, as ever, been working hard to keep things going and to keep us on our toes, innovating, challenging, and encouraging us as new things are tried and new opportunities are explored. And we are grateful to them for their energy and leadership and ask God's continued blessing on them. I apologize if you feel I should have mentioned you but haven't. I know there are many others who've contributed in some way or another to what we've accomplished this year. God knows what you've done, and we are all grateful. We are now emerging from the pandemic. The vaccine rollout and the lifting of restrictions have enabled many activities to restart, but there is still anxiety for some. We are now back in the building for all 3 Sunday services, and are also live streaming the 10 o'clock service for those unable or not yet ready to join us in person. And thanks to Janine, Sugin, Stuart, and others who facilitated this. What will the next year bring? God knows. And God will be with us every step of the way. Amen.
And the only right thing to say is, Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us. We join to sing. Have a seat. I've realised it's never been more important to make sure that my microphone is turned off when I'm singing, because otherwise there's all sorts of scrabbling going on with people trying to mute, and oh dear Lord have mercy. So I must. It's part of the new regime of how life is. Last week when we first got together, the hymn didn't quite fit the screen, and today it did. And that is indicative of just small bits of progress that are going on. We just need to move it, and we need to be gentle. Just take our time. So the reading of the scripture is from Mark chapter 8, Caesarea Philippi. Lots of views of Jesus out there, but Jesus wants to know about the 12. Who do they say that he is? And like a shot, Peter says, "You are the Christ." And then Jesus goes on to speak about his death using his favorite title about himself, Son of Man. Jenny Milner isn't feeling very well at the minute, and so Maddie Annelsart comes on as the first sub, and that, Samuel Kang, is the closest you're going to get from football conversation for me in this pulpit today.
Today, the reading is from chapter 8, verses 27 to 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father. Amen."
There would be nothing more ridiculous than a sort of State of the Nation type address, forward facing than in the world that we're in at the minute. And all that I say, anything I say, any events could be easily knocked off course. However, let's be clear. We know principles that we live or die by, and these things we can say clearly. Come from the text. Who is he? And does that matter? And who do you say that I am? You. Today, who do you say that I am? Remembering that I am is what God said as God's name when Moses asked, "Who are you?" And in the middle of this, in the middle of all this change, God is with us. And you, who do you say that I am? Some say a wise teacher from the past. Always better the past than now. Just a minute while I take off my rose-tinted glasses. Some say a contemporary firebrand. And you, who do you say that I am? It is one of the most important of questions. Jesus is Lord and Saviour, yes, but what does that mean? What difference does it make? What difference did it make when you were locked in your home and the church building was shut? As never before, we had to rely on God and all the false gods that we found to be worthless, worthless for a life that would thrive. This relying is very different and strange for some. People who are used to making their own way now have to ask for help, don't like it. The days of the pleasant Sunday afternoon as part of church life are gone. We are in a fight. Each battle to keep ourselves focused on the right way. Eyes on Jesus. The temptations around us are constant and attractive. They're not temptations if they're not attractive. And at the moment, the big temptations are grumbling, hopelessness, and a negative view of everything. And we have to challenge ourselves to hold true to what we say we believe and move beyond the mood music of our time. Blame and fear are not good guides to a life lived in all its fullness. Anxiety and fear are not wholesome basis for a church's life. Who am I? He says. In the middle of all this madness, we know the one who is with us at this time, and we know it is our job to reach out and to invite people, especially with all that building work going on, to become a part of us and join with us. It's important for our mission to be reaching out overseas, and we are grateful for those people who've set up Zoom and grateful for those who've set up the live streaming. We are grateful. It matters who we are, and that matches what we say we believe. Now, I said earlier that the question, who am I, is one of the most important questions. The other is, and us, who do we say that he is? Not me and my individual spiritual journey, but us working together to change the world, starting in Kingston. My final point is a practical one. It is a truism that we need to be aware and sensitive of one another, but that has never been more true. When it comes to COVID and the disease, we are in a range of places. Some of us have been commuting to work in the middle of London all the way through this thing. It would be very easy for them to be angry with the rest of us and dismissive of our fears. Some of us are anxious, not for ourselves, but for those who are around about us, for a close family member. It would be easy for them to isolate and drop out of view. It would be easy for some to think the others are reckless. And the way the UK government is dealing with this is that we are forced to make individual choices. We need to be in touch with each other. But more than that, we are expecting that God is with us in this thing. Let us be still. God of the past, but not confined there. God of the future, we know that you will be with us, and we are grateful. Amen. Sue's role within the life of this church is the pastoral work, so she's going to tell us something of how things are.
Good morning, everybody. I was asked not to mention any names in this report, okay? So it's a short one. and as I'm sort of following on from what Leslie said, really, because in the last year, we've been very much focused on COVID, and it's taken its toll on all of us in different ways. Isolation, inability to travel far, people have been unable to go and visit family and friends, even those who live nearby. We've had to adjust to technology, which for some of us is more difficult than others. And well done those who've gone out and bought iPads and what have you and learnt. We've had to use technology to, we've had to book meetings instead of just turning up. Going to the doctors, I don't know about you, but I found that a real trial, just trying to get to make an appointment. All having to do things online and learn passwords and verification codes. It all takes its toll. We've also had to grieve the loss of friends and family members. And on top of that, some of us haven't been able to attend funerals or burials. Thankfully, we have been able to attend services of remembrance or celebration on Zoom. Some of us are very poorly. Some in our church family have very serious illnesses. Some have recovered from serious illnesses and surgery. And others have had the joy of new additions to their family. Some have moved home and some are planning to move home. And we pray that God will give them his peace and his assurance at whatever stage they are in life, that he loves them and is, as Leslie's reminded us, God is with us. And I personally am very grateful for the team. You know who you are. There's many of you, at least 25, who continue to reach out and offer love and support to members of our church family. Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
Thank you.
Some of you might be wondering why, although Sue mentioned people, she didn't mention them by name. That's because this is being live streamed and it's people's story. We have to be respectful of people's confidentiality. But God knows. And now we will pray. We hold up those people whose names we know. Those that we mourn. Those that we know who are ill. Yet, Lord, at this season, we too easily obsess with ourselves. And if we raised our eyes, it was only to complain about the government and how we could have done things better. But we pray for our world that is in such need of your divine intervention. And we will not be fashionable. The media may have rolled on, but we will pray for peace in Israel-Palestine, for Syria. We will pray for the people of North Korea. We will pray for those who every day live with the effects of climate change. And yes, We will remember the people of Afghanistan and those living and dying with the coronavirus. And we will remember that hundreds of people died of the virus this week in the UK. In that context, the bigger context, based on your power, not on our fear, we pray for the life of our church. Lord, lead us into your future. Give us the vision and the resources to do our job well. We know that this will be a time of reshaping. Bless the elders. Bless Sally and her team. Bless Sugin, so young. Bless Ha'un as she joins us. Strengthen those who are ill. And be with those who are weary. Lord, we pray for those people who are heavy on our hearts. We pray for ourselves. We will not be driven by selfishness. We will not be driven by fads or fashion. But we will know your power. And live our lives as followers of Jesus. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Kathy. As Kathy comes up, I would like to say on behalf of all of us, a big thank you to the management group and to Kathy for chairing it and for all that they have done for us at this turbulent time. So thank you. Kathy's here representing the church treasurer and is going to give us a brief summation of how things are before we move to our offering. So many bits and pieces, eh?
Oh, too much paraphernalia. A mask, hearing aids and glasses. But here I am. Thank you. Before I begin with the numbers, I want to thank all of the people that are involved in the movement of money associated with the church, from our treasurer, Christine Chippendale, and to those of you who manage the budgets, purchasing and raising funds. I will be commenting on the church's financial accounts for the year ending March 2021 and a short summary of the first quarter of the finances for 21-22. I will be rounding up the figures using to thousands expressed as K, and I will be, the report was really written by Christine. The financial accounts are being prepared and will be presented to the elders at their October meeting, and then they will be presented to the November church meeting. The level of income for 2021 amounted to 242k, with costs amounting to 208k. This leaves a surplus of 34k. The level of income is mainly due to the generous giving of the members, and the gift day. The government furlough scheme has resulted in a reduction on the level of staff salary expenses. The level of income is only 30k down on the previous year's figures. Expenditure has been kept to a minimum and is 92k less than the previous year's figures of 300k. Moving forward, the church will need to spend funds on maintenance and upgrades to the building. In order to do this, the cost of some of the work, 24k, has been allotted to the provision of liabilities on the balance sheet for March 2021. So this gives a surplus of 10k for the year. Previously, Roger Sutton kindly prepared the accounts, and Collards, whose offices are just over there, performed the annual independent examination. Roger has decided to step down, so the church has sourced the preparation and the examination to Collards. A quick note on our reserves. The church reserves, as at March the 21st, is 315k, and this has increased from the 2020 figure. And the reserves are split very roughly 50-50 between unrestricted and restricted funds. And now to this financial year. The first quarter ends this month. The total level of income is slightly above the expected budget figure for the quarter by £600. Rent and room hire income is up for the quarter, although members' giving is slightly below budget. At this stage, it is too early to adjust budget figures. The total level of expenditure is under budget for the quarter by 14k. This is mainly due to the extension of the government furlough scheme running to the end of September 21, which has assisted the church's cover for staff costs. So in summary, moving forward, the church will need to spend funds on maintenance and upgrades to the building, and this will result in expenditure increasing. There is an income injection expected from the annual hire contract from MemCap, which is expected to raise 17k. Overall, the financial position for this quarter is under the agreed budget by approximately 14k, and the quarterly position is stable. However, there are still challenges to face in raising income to cover for future expenditure.
Thank you. I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? How, you know, where we are in terms of, it's been such a cataclysmic time. We are grateful to God. We are grateful. Thank you. Thank you. It's good. So our offering will now be received, and we know that many people give through their banks. We know that. So if you let the bag go by, nobody's having a go at you. That's absolutely fine. So let us pray. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, all, including the money in our banks with our names on it. The earth is the Lord and all that is in it. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given us this year. The gifts of money through the government, through the work of Catherine, George, Kathy, and the management committee. Through the responsible giving of the congregation, we will not offer that which costs us nothing. Thank you for the work of our treasurer, Christine, and thank you for Lisa, our bookkeeper. Thank you for all that Nigel did for our finances with gift aid. And thank you that for Jihei, who has stepped up to take on this responsibility. Thank you for your work among us. We are grateful. And all God's people said, seven of God's people said, but all God's people said, thank you very much. And I hope you're all saying it at home too. So we join together to sing our final hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me? Some of us will continue with the rest of the administration of the church, and I know that some will leave. But for now, may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, for now, forever. Amen.